Hi, it's Jasmine, you know, that girl who did you know what way before the internet ever existed. Join me and my special guest every week as we talk about anything and everything because nothing is too taboo. So punch your ticket and get on board the crazy train with me, Jasmine St. Clair. All aboard!
Welcome back to your favorite podcast, Crazy Train with Jasmine St. Clair. Here's a brand new episode with another foreign wrestler from way across the ocean in another continent, Mr. Franco Fate. Thank you so much for joining me, Franco. Like, I've been eyeballing your social media. So for those of you who don't know, Franco is part of this amazing wrestling league in the UK, Kumite, which is a weird name, Kumite Combat Wrestling. But what I really want to know, and a lot of my friends want to know, why would a guy with your dark, exotic looks choose deathmatch wrestling? Or did it like find you? How did that happen?
I think it was a bit of both, to be honest. Like for myself, I came into professional wrestling a bit later. So I'd say I'm more of a product of the Attitude Era and ECW, like growing up through the late 90s, early 2000s. So watching guys like Sandman, Sabu, Mike Awesome and that as I grew up definitely had a massive influence on me. So when I eventually came into professional wrestling sort of 5 or 6 years ago, I think, and there was people there at the training school said it would only be a matter of time that I gravitate towards it. And well, until 12 months ago, the summer of 2023, got my first match on Kumite, against Big Lou Nixon, just in a straight wrestling match, and got the ball rolling from there. And ever since, it's just progressed further and further into that sort of scene of wrestling.
It's interesting because in American deathmatch wrestling, I don't feel as though a lot of the guys are as athletic as the European and British wrestlers who do this, such as yourself and Lou, because you guys could go strong style. You could even do this without weapons. Do you think there's a difference between American versus European death matches as far as light tubes and all the weapons are concerned, or do we overdo it?
I think with the death match style over in the UK, because it's still quite a small sort of scene that's developing, we only have about 4 main promotions, 2 of them only set up in the last couple of years. A lot of us have to turn to other styles of wrestling, whether that be the touring family shows or the indie shows and stuff like that. So it's kind of like a special occasion when we come to do the deathmatch shows. So I think maybe the budget's bigger over in America in terms of like the light, more free reign for the weapons and that. But, you know, there's a lot of eyes on the American scene, that's for sure. And obviously Japan as well. And I just think we're just trying to maybe play a bit of catch up these days in terms of what you guys are doing over in America. I don't know. It's it's definitely, I think within the UK, we're definitely trying to step up a lot more.
I don't know if that's like a good thing or a bad thing, because I think sometimes too much, like less is more, that I would say. I like the style when I see just a really good wrestling match. This is just me personally. And then you have like the bells and the whistles, such as like the light tube, a cane, a chair shot, because when it's like so overkill, like what are fans going to see next? Like people snuffing each other out in the ring with a gun? Not that that's going to happen. What's your favorite weapon?
For me, it's got to be the steel chairs, because especially with sort of, like I say, going back to the late 90s and stuff, they made such a big statement with those. I mean, when you look towards The Rock versus Mankind in the I Quit match in the 99 Rumble, you know, such a huge statement at the time. And I think, like you said, in terms of different match styles and stuff like that, I mean, when the match comes out on IWTV from the weekend against me and Big Lou for the KCW world title and the Ruthless Rust Belt, there was only chairs and tables involved, and it seemed like the crowd was really into it, really invested, and we didn't have to go all out. You know, we could keep somewhat restrained a little bit, because if we get to mix it up again further down the line, we can escalate it to the next level and maybe introduce a couple of light tubes or, you know, a few bells and whistles. We'll just have to wait and see what opportunities arise in the future.
Yeah, I think it makes more sense. It's like the build up, the slow burn, the storytelling, which I feel a lot of Venice states lack, is that storytelling. And like the other thing where I think there are too many wrestlers doing big moves for the sake of doing a big move and not really using the psychology. What was your original aspiration?
I'd probably say originally would be to be a pro wrestler, but sort of back when I was in my late teens, coming out of high school and stuff, it was very much a case with the wrestling schools, in terms of you had to know someone who was already in that wrestling school to be able to be a part of it. And unfortunately, I just never crossed paths with anybody who was training to be a professional wrestler at the time. And as years have gone by, what I've actually found out is where I grew up, the 20 minutes down the road, was one of the most prominent wrestling schools in the UK, being All Star with Brian Dixon. And, you know, it feels like now, coming into the age I am now, and when I started training to be a professional wrestler in my late 20s, it's just one of them where you feel like you're trying to make up for lost time. It's just, it's, you know, your priorities change and stuff like that. But it's just good to be able to sort of fulfill that childhood dream to a certain extent, being able to, you know, be booked regularly on weekends, whether that be the deathmatch wrestling or for deathmatch promotions or indie promotions, family bookings, camp shows, all that kind of stuff. A bit of a jack of all trades, really. Any opportunity that arises, I'll always take it with both hands, just to get that experience and, like I said, try and make up for lost time.
Let's backtrack. You said campfire shows. What are those exactly? And is there a ring involved or no ring?
That's more. So we have over in the UK, like holiday parks, where you have like camper vans and stuff like that. And it's very much a traditional British style in terms of, you know, through the summer run, we have like a 6-week school holiday through July and August. And, there's many touring promotions who will do the sort of holiday parks and set up a show, you know, 2 to 3 times a day across different holiday parks. And it's basically a case of you just live in the van for 6 weeks with a couple of sweaty dudes and just go out and wrestle every night, which, you know, is a dream to some. Like I said, I mean, I've got a full-time job, but what I try and do is at least try and book off a couple of weeks every summer just to be able to jump on one of those and just wrestle. You know, sometimes no planning involved. You just go straight in there and then just figure it out when you're in there, which is pretty cool. Hell of a fun time, and you get to make some good friends along the way as well.
Well, yeah, I'd hope so. If you're in a van with a bunch of other sweaty guys, I would hope you guys become friends somehow. It sounds like a great night, though, by the way. So you're saying a few interesting things here. So you're saying now with the schools, they're more selective in the UK over the States. Is that what I'm hearing? Because I think anyone could get into a school in the States, and it's not necessarily the best of the best training you. Is that what they do there? They put you through a vetting process for the schools?
I wouldn't say a vetting process. Maybe that was the case sort of 10, 15 years ago. I think with the help of the internet now, it's so much more accessible to be able to train to become a professional wrestler in some form or capacity. I know that where I train, they have open days where people can, you know, try it, you know, take a few bumps in the ring, do a couple of rolls, run the ropes and stuff, see if they like it. See if they want to pursue it in terms of the training kind of thing. I don't think there's any sort of vetting process over in the UK. It's more a case of, it's quite a welcoming atmosphere, you know, If you want to give it a go, I'm more than happy for you to come down and give it a go and, you know, see where it goes from there. Some people take to it like a duck to water. Others need to work a bit harder. But I know from where I train, at House of Pain, it's a case of up in Nottingham. It's a case of, you know, you'll train for 10 to 12 months in the training facility, you know, understanding how a match is structured and put together, telling that story through wrestling and, you know, practicing rolls, practicing bumps, running the ropes, you know, certain segments of matches and things like that. And then when our head trainer sticks, thinks you're ready to debut, then we have trainee shows as well where people get to debut, you know, all that hard work gets paid off and they get to perform in front of their family and friends. And then after that, it's just a case of keeping the reps in and seeing where their path takes them.
Where in England are you from?
So I'm from Nottingham. So that's East Midlands, probably about 2 hours from Liverpool, 2 hours from London. It's quite good, actually. It's quite advantageous from a wrestling point of view because apart from Scotland, we're probably about 2 to 3 hours from any major city in Nottingham, which is good in terms of the amount of promotions that are running out of the major cities these days.
It also seems like a good place to sort of be away from everything, like any distractions. You know, you go to a bigger city, like New York, you're like tempted by everything there from like the bars and everything else, the nightlife. I'm sure there's a nightlife there as well.
Yeah.
I stick usually to like London where I have every distraction possible or like Derby, but it's definitely a different vibe, you know? Do you ever hope to make it over to the States to do shows here and work for any specific promotions?
For me, it's just a case of any opportunity that comes up, I'll try my hardest to make it work. Obviously, East Coast America would be great. And then obviously Japan as well. I had the pleasure of going to Japan on a vacation last year. Spent 3 weeks out there. Went and saw some pretty cool wrestling, pro wrestling Noah, Gate of Move and Chaka Pro as well. And just the culture shock going over there is crazy. Like spending time around Tokyo and Osaka, Hiroshima as well. Just think they're beautiful cities, beautiful places, and I'd love to go back. If I got to work out there, that's just one massive tick off my bucket list, 100%.
I hope you make it over there. I really do, because it's an experience to work shows. Any aspirations of getting onto the WWE? Because I hear different things from like they don't want to go, or they don't care, or they do want to go.
For me, I'm like a bit of a realist in terms of with my age and stuff. They probably wouldn't even take a second look at me. I'm probably way past the time that they would see as an opportunity. But if anything it did come about, I'd definitely take it with both hands. But for me, I think it's just trying to take every opportunity I possibly can, whether that's stateside, whether that's Japan, even in mainland Europe, there's a couple of promotions I'd like to tick off there, you know, WXW and stuff like that, like promotions like them. Like I said, with my job and stuff, it's just trying to, if I can make it work, like I would 100% like take any opportunity to like say come to America, go to Japan and mainland Europe.
So if you're looking for the safest and coolest way to bet online and the most variety, of course, of games and like almost anything you could bet on, stop at betonline.ag because I guarantee you there is something for everyone. So aside from your potential Mediterranean genetics, which is very good for anti-aging, by the way, everyone, what goes into daily regimen? Like, how do you stay in shape? Because there are 22-year-old guys who don't look that good with their shirts off.
Well, I appreciate the compliment for a start. it's just a case of trying to keep strictish with my diet. I don't track anything, but I'm basically like a cat. I just eat the same, a cat or a dog, just eat the same thing every single day. So usually like chicken, beef, rice, potatoes, all that kind of stuff. And then down the gym 4 times a week, trying to stay in shape, and training down at the training school at least once a week. And then obviously maybe a full weekend of wrestling on top of that. So I'm quite active and trying to stay on my feet at work as much as I can, get my steps in. So yeah, just got to try and keep up with these late teen, early 20s guys who are in decent shape and can run rings around me.
Well, you know, there's some people with the younger guys, and I think it's just all a matter of mind and how many reps you get in with this. Combat wrestling and what kind of things they have going on there, because I like the promotion. I've seen the stuff. I like a lot of stuff there. Like, the girls look amazing.
Yeah, so I think they try and keep it a little bit different in terms of the way they set up the show. So, like, the first half of the show will be more like just straight wrestling matches, whether that be intergender or like mixed tag teams and stuff like that. I mean, at the first one of the year, they had something called the Meat Raffle, which was just a bunch of big dudes and a couple other people in there as well, just in a big rumble for the Kumite Openweight title, which was the title that Lou won. But yeah, they like to try and keep it a little bit different, especially with the like the death matches and more hardcore stuff as well, where they'll change like for different stipulations. Like, for instance, mine and Lou's match from the weekend was an extreme rules match. And then they had a couple of death matches afterwards as well. But like, so we've, since then, we've had a couple of ideas of how we can progress the story. So it'd be interesting to see what ideas they'd be up for doing next time. So, yeah, we'll just have to wait and see later on this year.
I think it's great that they mix it up, because if you have just strictly death matches in a show, it's not really as family friendly. And, you know, in Japan, when I was there for Big Japan Wrestling, in the audience, there was a 5-year-old kid watching a death match show, but they're wearing like those ponchos, those plastic ponchos and shades or goggles, because they know the glass is going to go flying back there. I mean, I've been hit by actually your friend Lou, nicked me with a piece of glass once by accident. It was a pretty bad bruise on the side of my arm like last year. What's the injury that you had so far to date?
I'd probably say, and people can see it on my Instagram page, is probably all the thumbtacks into the top of my head. So I was wrestling in a match tournament for Bleeding Gums Wrestling, which is a new death match promotion that's just set up in Scotland. It was on their second show, and that was my first like full blown death match against Alton Thorne, who's someone from Nottingham as well, trained with for a few years. So it was one of them where the opportunity came about, and I just took it because, like I said, there's that level of trust there because I know him so well, and I know we're just going to beat the shit out of each other. So it's going to be a fun time. But yeah, we had a little spot in the match where we basically had thumbtack bats and just started trading off with them. And then before I know it, I had a shitload of thumbtacks in the top of my head, a bit like a mohawk. Yeah. So getting them pulled out by the medics after the match wasn't the nicest of experiences.
That's something else. And do you have a nurse backstage or not?
I don't say I get nervous before matches, to be honest. It's more excitement. Because previous to wrestling and wrestling on shows, I used to be in like hardcore punk and metal bands sort of about 10 years ago, and we used to tour around up and do European tours with American bands, like supporting them and stuff. So I guess I got all my nerves out of the way being in bands and playing in front of like a couple of hundred people in like a club show or something in like Munich and in Paris and stuff like that. So when it came to the professional wrestling, I thought, well, can't really get nervous now. I mean, you know, I've done this before, you know, but sort of performing, and it's a different kind of performing, I suppose, but you know, you just kind of get used to being in front of a crowd, and so when it came to wrestling, it's just feels natural just to go out there. Like I said, it feels more like excitement than nerves. Just looking forward to just being in the match and being involved.
Wait, what instrument did you play, or do you play?
I play a bit of everything. So I can play drums, bass, guitar, a little bit of piano, but mainly guitar. Like in the bands I was in, we'd just write all our own songs, and it's a bit very similar to the camp show tour that I mentioned earlier. We'd just in the summer we'd take a couple of weeks off, just get in a van and drive around Europe and play shows up and down the mainland from like Amsterdam all the way down to Madrid and Barcelona, and then across to Vienna and Budapest, and all the way back up through Germany and play a couple of fests in Germany. It was a good time. It's the same again, just a bunch of sweaty dudes in a van just driving around, traveling around and performing.
Yeah, you guys didn't have the like five-star experience. My ex-fiance was in this black metal band called Dimmu Borgir. So when we were doing the festivals that summer, you're in this like big bus. When you stop off, there wasn't a shower. There was no shower, but we'd stop off at the truck stops in Germany, and those showers were so clean. Like they were lovely. And it's like, oh, you can actually bathe here. Wow. So I totally get it. Did you play with Suffocation or any bands like that, or Hyrax?
No, I'm trying to think actually. We may have played with Suffocation on a fest like years ago. It's trying to delve into the backs of my mind, but I remember we managed to blag our way into a fest one year where we had a day off, and couple of our friends played in another band called Your Demise, and they played a fest in Germany. We managed to sneak in using like the lanyards from our tour pass to get past the security, and ended up being right at the front of the stage for Slayer. And that, like, Slayer are one of my favourite bands of all time. So to be able to just like stand there and watch Kerry King just like shred was like a dream come true.
Which drummer was there at the time? Was it Paul Bostaph? Did he come back, or what was it, Dave Lombardo?
It was Dave Lombardo at the time. So it was sort of just after Hanneman got sick. And then they brought in I always forget his name.
Gary Holt.
Yeah, Gary Holt. They just brought in Gary
Holt at that
point.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's like you lose all these really talented people in like wrestling and music. Seriously, like take a Kardashian or something like that, or Justin Bieber, because clearly they have no purpose on this earth. I know that sounds horrible, but I say it all the time. People like reported that tweet. I'm like, what the fuck am I saying that is not correct about that statement? Seriously. Anyway, getting back to wrestling, what does Kumite stand for?
I think it's Japanese. I'm not 100% sure myself, but like you're saying about that open weight title, it's just so badass. Because when you look at the stitching, it's got like barbed wire in the stitching and stuff. When I saw that up there when they premiered it for the meat raffle, I was pretty jealous of Lou being able to hold that title.
Want to spice things up in the bedroom? Go to adamandeve.com. And if you'd like to get 50% off of certain items and 10 free gifts, use the code CRAZYTRAIN. Crazy with a K. Go to adamandeve.com and spice things up in the bedroom. And don't forget to use the code CRAZYTRAIN. Also, like, I'm fascinated with all of this because I just got all into the rabbit hole of the whole Kumite combat wrestling. It's just intriguing because ads and the marketing are so well done. How many shows a year do you actually do for Kumite? Do they run all the time?
Last year and the year before, they had an outdoor venue. I don't know whether you've seen a couple of the videos from matches that they've put up online. So they'd only run really in the summer months. I think that was due to a couple of the venues that they tried to get, which were indoor. They just get cancelled straight away when they, I think, when they found out what kind of wrestling it was and stuff. I'm not too sure myself, but they managed to find Vines Bar, which is an outdoor venue, and it's, I think it's pretty unique as well, in terms of, especially for the UK, you don't really get that at all as on the independent sort of wrestling promotions. But they run, I think they've run four times a year last year, and then they've managed to get a venue called the Hairy Dog in Derby, which is indoor. So the first two of the year were there, and then from June till August, they are outdoor at Vines Bar, and then they've got one final show back at the Hairy Dog in the autumn. So they've got five this year. I think I'm on all five for this year, so can't say too much in terms of what the matches are coming up, but there's definitely some tasty matches that I'm going to be involved in towards the end of the year.
Maybe you'll walk away with a belt. And these are bar shows, so is there a ring or no ring?
These all have wrestling rings in there. The very first Kumite show was at a place called Pop World, and that was no ring, and it was absolute chaos. So I think the main event was Alton Thorne versus Danny Darko versus Big Fucking Joe. And they just tore the place up. Just absolute chaos. That's the only word I can describe. It was just chaos. They had all the kind of weaponry you could think of, all the light tubes and the different structures, and they just went at it. It was pretty wild, to be fair.
What are your socials if people actually want to find you and support you? Do you have merchandise, by the way? Do you have t-shirts, pins? Do you have anything cool?
Yeah, I just got a new batch of t-shirts coming, actually. I've got a mail run to do tomorrow to send them out. So I know quite a few people have been waiting a while for them to come through. There's been a few issues with the printing, trying to get different companies to print them for me. But they're getting sent out tomorrow. And I'll have them on all my upcoming shows. But for socials, I'm on mainly Instagram, and do we call it Twitter or X? I still call it Twitter, but
yeah, Twitter.
Yeah, well, I'll stick to Twitter. And it's just Franco_Fate. That's all they need to search, and they'll find me right there. And I've got a big cartel as well, which is thereisnofate.bigcartel.com, and that's where they can buy all my t-shirts. 8x10s, and I usually throw in a couple of free stickers as well for people who buy my merch. So as a little sweetener.
Yeah, I always throw in like a free sticker, or like I get these little glitter holographic stickers. I throw those in. I throw in like keyrings and stuff. It makes for a nice little gift to people. It shows appreciation, and it's obviously very important to support indie wrestling and indie wrestlers, because they're not like WWE or anything like that, where everyone's grossly overpaid for their talents. Not that there's such a thing, but where'd you come up with the name Fate, F-A-T-E? Because I highly doubt that's your real surname. And I don't want to know your shoot name. I just want to know where that name came up from.
Yeah, so it's a bit of an interesting one, because usually in the UK, a lot of people will just swap their shoot names around to then create their wrestling name. Whereas, I don't know, because I debuted after the pandemic, because I was training in the run-up to it, and then unfortunately, just as I was about to debut, they shut the world down, and I had to wait. So during that time, I was just basically just training in a basement with one of my friends, because fortunately enough, we had a good friend who owned a gym, which was an independent gym, so he let people rent equipment off him and stuff, just to keep a bit of money flow going. And we were just talking about it one day. And so for me, I've always idolized Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like when I was growing up as a kid, like my favorite films, like Terminator 2. And I think I've got a poster up of it on the wall and that. And So the Franco actually comes from Arnold Schwarzenegger's best friend through bodybuilding, which was Franco Colombo. And then the fate comes from my favorite film of all time being Terminator 2, where the infamous saying, there is no fate but what we make for ourselves. And then I just put the two and two together, and then there we have it. That was my name. And I went with that, and it seems to have stuck ever since. No one's told me it's complete like dog shit, so I've just kept it.
Yeah, I've seen really ridiculous names. That's a good one, though, and it comes from a good place, and it's a very true statement, you know? And if they want to find out your upcoming dates and events, is that on Instagram?
Yeah, so I regularly update my Instagram stories with shows that I've got coming up. They'll be able to see me at the upcoming KCW shows. So on June the 23rd, there's Beef, which is the first show at Vines Bar. They haven't announced the match yet, but it's going to be a good match. We'll say, you know, someone's famously coined finish the story. Well, this is just continuing the story. So yeah. And then in July, I'll be at Bleeding Gums Wrestling in Scotland as well. Another interesting match coming up when that gets announced as well. So, yeah, people just keep their eyes peeled on that, and it'll all become apparent in the next few weeks. But I'm also trying to work out a couple of bookings elsewhere as well. So, next weekend, I've got a title match for a local promotion called Future that just got announced today. So potentially, I mean, I tried and failed last weekend for my first belt. Who knows? Next weekend, I could very well be getting my first title belt. So we'll just have to wait and see. But yeah, always busy. Always keep checking back on my socials, because I might just be popping up somewhere local to you. Yeah.
Well, say hi to the Loch Ness Monster for me, because I still believe that the Loch Ness Monster does indeed exist. Like, I did all these papers on the Loch Ness Monster when I was in school. I really think he exists. Maybe that's your mystery opponent, the Loch Ness Monster, right?
You never know. You never know.
Let him get over on you, though. Put him over, though, please. He deserves to win.
Always.
So yeah. Thanks so much for joining us. You'll put him over? You'll put over Nessie?
Yeah, of course.
Thank you so much for joining me today, and sit tight.